This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Baruch and Chanukah, everyone. Happy Chanukah. I want everyone to fasten your seatbelts. We're about to take a journey into the deep, deep meaning of the dream of Parai. You know, the Chovas Havavos teaches us that there are many stories in the Chumash that we're familiar with, and we sort of learn it year after year, but our initial understanding, the way we understood it when we were kids, sort of sticks with us, and we never get beyond, really. We're never able to delve beyond our initial perception of the stories. But we're going to try to have a new outlook on the whole episode of the dreams of Paro, and hopefully by the end of our journey we'll have a much deeper understanding of the meaning of these dreams. First we begin, the parasha begins, Vahimi kech nasayim yamim, it was the end of 2 years, uparei choleim, Paro was dreaming, vihine omed al hayar, he was standing by the river. And the Torah goes on to tell us how first he sees seven fat cows, geshmaka cows, right, robust, fat cows, coming out of the river, and then seven skinny cows, really skinny, scrawny, you know, really pale-looking cows. Not really, if you'd see those cows, you would never buy a cow like that, you know. Didn't look very promising for a good piece of steak. And the seven skinny cows swallow the seven fat cows, and Paro woke up. Vayikatz Paro woke up. And what do? After you wake up, you go back to sleep. He went back to sleep, he had another dream. He sees seven ears of grain. Fat ears, geshmaka ears, robust ears, really juicy, right? 7 years, and then he sees seven scrawny, skinny ears, and they come, they swallow up the fat ears. Says the pasuk Zion, vayikatz paroi, Paro woke up. It was only a dream. It was not reality. It was only a dream. So listen to this. In the morning, okay, his heart was bothering him. His spirit was bothering him. So what does he do? He calls, Kol Chartume Mitzrayim. All of the necromancers, all of the magicians of Egypt, and all of his wise men. And Paro tells him his dream. Paro tells him his dream. And no one could interpret the dream for Paro. No one could interpret it. Okay? So this is what we're all familiar with. We know this is what happened. What happens next? Listen to this. All of a sudden, after no one is able to interpret the dream, the Sar HaMashkim, who's the Sar HaMashkim? The minister of drink tells Paro, Eschatoai ani maskar hayom Parai, I have to confess, I've sinned against you in the past. Remember me? I'm the guy who was in charge of your drink. I'm the guy who was supposed to make sure nothing foreign fell into your drink. And I'm the guy who failed at my job. I had one job in life, to look at the cup that you were going to drink. And I failed at that job. Imagine all, you know, it's like Lahavdil, the umpires. They have the one job is to look at first base. Is the runner out or safe? They can't get it right. Here, his one job is to look at the cup of water, to look at the cup of wine, make sure nothing falls in it. And he failed at the job. But the Sar HaMashkim says, I must confess my sin. But by the way, I know a really good guy who knows how to interpret dreams. He's a slave. He's a Jew. You may want to speak to him. And that's where Yosef, that's how Yosef comes out of this whole, comes out of jail. There are a few questions that we need to address over here. Number one, if you look on page 222. Vayedaber Pasuk Tes. Take a look if you have a Chumash. Page 222, if you want to get some more Chumashim, page 222. Vayedaber Sar HaMashkim Oparo Lemar. The Sar HaMashkim, the minister of drink, says to Paro, Eschatoai ani masker hayoim. What does the word eschatoai mean?
My sins.
My sins. Lashon Rabim. My sins. Not eschati, my sin. Eschatoai, my sins. What do you mean my sins? He only sinned once. He only sinned once. He was in charge of the drink. He was the minister of drink to make sure no flies fell into the drink, and he flunked. But that was only one infraction. That was only one thing he did wrong. Why does the Torah say that he is confessing, Eschatoai, my sins? He only sinned one time. Yeah, good kasha, right? Good kasha. So that's question number one. Question number one is, why does the Sar HaMashkim say, I want to mention my sins. He only sinned one time. Okay? You hear? He says, Eschatai. He only, she should say, Eschati. Question number two. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Paro and he started doing these nisim, these miracles? He turned water into blood. So what did the Chartumims, what was their reaction? He said, come on. Yeah, this is like, you know the expression, it's like selling coal in Newcastle. Or you ever hear the expression, like selling ice to the Eskimos, right? In Egypt, everyone was a magician. You know, of course, Moshe, you're turning water into blood. Shkayach. Anybody could do that, you know? So the whole land of Egypt was full of these magician guys. So how could the Pasuk say, look, Pasuk Ches, in the morning, Paro woke up from his dream, and Paro tells his magicians a dream? Look what it says. Vayikra eskol chartume Mitzrayim. He called all of the sorcerers of Egypt. Yeah, in one morning? In one morning he was able to call all the sorcerers of Egypt? How is he able to do that? How is that possible? In one morning? I mean, look, you call one guy. Remember, Paro saw the seven fat cows, the seven skinny cows, the seven fat ears, the seven skinny ears. And they were each trying to interpret the dream. So you could just imagine. One guy says, yeah, Paro, you know, you're going to make a kiddush on Shabbos. You're going to have seven pieces of potato kugel. And then you're going to have seven pieces of... You know, you could just imagine each one of them made their attempts to interpret the dream. And they tried, and they couldn't interpret it. But how in the world was it possible for Paro to call every single one of the chartumim in one morning? How could the Pasuk say, if you look in Pasuk Ches, Vayikra es kol chartumei Mitzrayim. He called all of the chartumim in one morning. How is that possible? How is it possible? Another question. By the way, look in the first Pasuk of the Parsha. It says it was at the end of 2 years, right? And Paro had a dream. Look at the very last Pasuk of Parshas.
What page?
Okay, page 220. Everyone have a chumash? If you look at the end of page 220, the last verse on page 220. Remember when Yosef was in jail, he saw these two guys in jail. There was the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofen. And they both had dreams, and Yosef sees her, they look depressed, so Yosef says, what could I do for you? So they said, we had these dreams, so Yosef says, tell me the dream. So they tell Yosef the dream. Yosef interprets the dream. He tells the Sarah Ofim, tomorrow you're going to be hung. In 3 days you're going to be hung. He tells the Sarah Mashkim, don't worry, Paro will restore you to your position. You're gonna have a job again. You're going to be back to employment. But Yosef says, just do me one favor. The favor is, when you get out of jail, do me a favor. Mention my name to Paro. Please, you know, maybe you could get me out of here. Right? If you look on page 218, Yosef tells him, on Pasuk Yodalad, Ki im zechartani itcha, please remember me, kasher yitavlach, when it will be good for you, v'asisa na'imadi chased, please do kindness with me, v'hizkartani o Paro, mention me to Paro. Did the Sarah Mashkim remember Yosef?
No.
No. For how long did he forget him?
2 years.
Why 2 years? Because Yosef improperly placed his trust in a human being, instead of placing this trust in Hashem. And he said, remember me, twice. For each time he said, remember me, he had another year in jail. Yosef had to sit another year in jail. So almost as if to say that really the Sarah Mashkim naturally should have remembered Yosef immediately. Why did he forget him and only mention him after 2 years? Hashem supernaturally, miraculously made the Sarah Mashkim forget about Yosef for 2 years. That's what Chazal tells us. That's what our rabbis tell us. That's very hard to understand. Because imagine this. What do you mean, the Sarah Mashkim? Who says the Sarah Mashkim forgot about Yosef? Where do we see he forgot about Yosef? Because he didn't mention him for 2 years? Imagine the case. Here you have Yosef as a convicted criminal, right? He's convicted of molesting a woman, a high-ranking woman. And what happens? So the Sarah Mashkim gets out of jail. The Sarah Mashkim was also a criminal. He was caught, you know, not taking care of the king's drink. So Paro lets him out of jail. Imagine he comes to Paro. He says, oh, Paro, thank you so much for letting me out of jail. And by the way, if you ever have a bad dream, I know a great guy who could really interpret the dreams for you. What kind of meshugana the second he comes out of jail, is going to tell the king, by the way, you know, I know a guy who sells socks. You know, I mean, why would you mention to the king that I know a guy who knows how to interpret dreams? If it's one thing if the king is having a dream and you hear he's really bothered by it and he's looking for an interpreter. Okay, so you mention to him, I have a really great guy. But where do we see the Sar HaMashkim forgetting about Yosef? He didn't forget about Yosef. This was the first opportunity he had to mention Yosef, so he capitalized on the first opportunity. But we don't see anywhere that the Sar HaMashkim forgetting about Yosef. You know, it's like saying, you know, a guy, he's sitting in jail for years, right? He's a convicted criminal. And when the judge lets him out of jail, he says, thank you so much, judge. By the way, if you ever have any psychological issues, I know a great psychologist for you. That's what you're going to tell the king? The king lets him out of jail. By the way, if you have a bad job, of course he's not going to mention about, he knows a guy. You know, man, you know, you give the judge, by the way, if you need the business card of, you know, what's it? Of course he wouldn't mention it.
Want to go back.
It wasn't relevant. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Aleph. Take a look one more time at Pasuk Aleph. And then we're going to uncover this whole mystery. Vayi miketz shnasayim yamim. It was at the end of 2 years. Uparo choleim. Paro. What's choleim? What does choleim mean?
Has a dream.
Avar, hoveh, or asid?
Present.
Present, hoveh.
Hoveh. Present tense. What do you mean? It should say, Vayachalom Paro. At the end of 2 years, Paro had a dream. It's telling me a story. Why does it say, Uparo choleim, he's dreaming? Now he's dreaming? So, says Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. Okay, we're featuring a new commentary this week. Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer was the head of the Bezin of Krakow, early 1900s. Says Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, you have to understand. Okay? We'll read it inside. Take a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom in number 2. Okay? Says of Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, this dream, number 2, 6 lines from the bottom. Says of Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, Amnam Nira, it would appear to me, Uchimedumani, and I think, Sheshamati Oimrim Kain Mishmei, that I heard that they say this over in the name of Dikvoid Zikni Hagoin Moreno Harab Shimon Sofer. Okay, Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer was a direct descendant of the Chassam Sofer from Hungary. Okay, and his son was Rav Shimon Sofer, and Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer was a descendant of his. Listen to this. We always thought that Paro had the dream how many times? One time. He had a dream. He saw fat cows. He saw fat ears of grain. You know how many times he had the dream? For 2 years straight, he had the dream night after night after night after night. And throughout these 2 years, you know, he was able to summon Kol Chartume Mitzrayim, all of the sorcerers. It wasn't...
He had the same dream?
He had the dream night after night. He's going Meshuggah.
Yeah, with the cows and then with the...
With the ears of grain.
How do we know that? This is what the...
We're deriving it from the fact that one clue is the fact that it says he called all the Chartumei Mitzrayim. How is it possible to call them in one day? One time he had a dream and the next morning he summoned all the Chartumei Mitzrayim? That's like saying, you know, you summon all the Jewish doctors in one day. You can't, it's too many, right? Look what he says. Shekol oysan beishonim cholam paroi midei laila v'laila oysay hecholoi ma'atzmai. For 2 years, Paro had the dream again and again and again. Umi de boker u boker, and every morning, vati poem ruchai. His heart was bothering him. Vayikra lechartumim, and he called his sorcerers. Visipra lanu torasenu hakadosha. And our holy Torah tells us, Shemiketz shnasayim yamim, that at the end of 2 years, uparo adayin holech v'choleim. He was still dreaming. You know why in Pasuk Aleph it says uparo choleim? Present tense, because he's still dreaming. It wasn't in the past, it's present. He's still every night. Can you imagine right before Paro goes to sleep, he's thinking to himself, oh no, not again, I'm going to be thinking about fat cows again in my dream. Can you imagine, it's haunting to see these cows night after night after night, right? V'se'ah, oysay hachalem sho'oymed al ayar, ukfar kara Next top of the page, L'chol chartumei Mitzrayim. He summoned all of the sorcerers. V'ein poiser oisam l'paroi. No one was able to interpret it for Paroi. Ki b'meshech b'yishanim. Because throughout the 2 years, v'aday efshir shekvar kara kulam, it's possible he called all of them. V'nisa kolo efshir. And he had already tested everyone. In 1 day it would be impossible. In 2 years he was able to call everyone. V'acharei b'yishanim, and after 2 years, nizkar saramashkim, the saramashkim remembered, shenimtza b'beis hamishmar, Oid ish shaymeach alayim liftaroi say. Oh, at the end of 2 years, the Saramashkim remembered, oh, there's one guy in the jail who knows how to interpret dreams. So what does the Saramashkim say? Eschata ay ani mazke hayom. Paro, let me tell you about my sins. Why Lashon Rabin? Because he didn't just sin against Paro one time. You know how many times he sinned against him? 730 times. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and again and again and again. Because as Paro is, the dream is repeating itself again and again and again and again. And the Saramashkim hears, he reads the newspaper every day. Paro probably put out an ad in the newspaper that the king is going crazy. He's having the same dream every night. If anybody knows someone who can interpret the dream, handsome reward. And here the Saramashkim is reading the daily Egyptian journal, and he doesn't remember that there's a Jewish guy in jail who could interpret the dream. That's why the Saramashkim says, Eschata ay ani masker hayom. Not just I've sinned against you one time with my drink, I've sinned against you every day for the last 2 years. Okay. Now we had a question before. Well, what? Where do we see the Saramashkim forgetting about Yosef? He just didn't have the opportunity until now to tell Paro anything about the dreams. No, sure he had an opportunity. He has had an opportunity for the last 2 years to tell Paro every single day, I know a guy who can interpret the dream, I know a guy who can interpret the dream. And it wasn't just that this was his first opportunity to tell Paro about the expertise of Yosef. He had 730 opportunities, and he first remembered today. Why? It was a punishment for Yosef, that Hashem was punishing Yosef. You put your trust in a human being, he's not going to come through for you. Okay, so this is a little bit of a different interpretation and explanation from what we're used to. Again, Paro is having the same dream every day for a course of 2 years. That's why in Pasuk Aleph it says, Uparo Cholem, present tense. That's why the Saramashkim says, Eschata ayani maskayom, my sins, because he's sinned against him many, many times. Every day that he's not telling Paro about Yosef's expertise, it's a sin against Paro. That's why the Torah tells us the Saramashkim forgot about Yosef. What do you mean he forgot? He never had the opportunity to tell Paro. No. Sure, he had the opportunity, but he didn't remember until now. Okay, now we move on. We're going to get a little bit deeper. Take a look in the Chumash very carefully. Okay? At the end of Paro's dream, again, for those who missed it in the beginning, Paro had two parts of the dream. He sees 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows. The 7 skinny cows swallow the 7 fat cows. Then it says he woke up. He went back to sleep, he saw 7 fat ears of grain, 7 skinny ears of grain, the 7 skinny ears swallowed the 7 fat ears. He woke up and it's a dream. Take a look at Rashi. Number 3, V'hinei chaloim, says Rashi. What does it mean, and behold, it's a dream? V'hinei nishlam chaloim shalem lefanov. And behold, the dream has been completed, v'hutzrach leposrim, and now it needs to be interpreted. At the conclusion of Paro's dream, the Pasuk says, Vayikatz Paro, Paro got up, Vihinei Chalom, and behold, it was a dream. What does that mean, behold, it was a dream? Rashi just says, the dream was completed. Somebody please tell me, what is Rashi trying to teach? What's Rashi saying? The dream was completed? Obviously, the dream was completed. The dream is over. Paro woke up. The dream is over. Why do we need Rashi? What's Rashi trying to teach me? By saying that now the dream is complete. Anybody who reads these psukim in the Chumash understands on their own that the dream is complete. I'll ask you another question. Look at the end of the first half of Paro's dream. Okay? The Pasuk says, Vayikatz Paro, Paro woke up. It doesn't say, V'hinei Chalom. It doesn't say, and behold, it was a dream. Only this, after the second part of the dream, it says, Vayikatz Paro, Paro woke up, Vihinei Chalom, and it was a dream. Why doesn't it say, Vihinei Chalom, after the first part of the dream? Right? Let's say, you know, you go to sleep at night, you dream about something, you wake up, oh, it was a dream. You go back to sleep, you have a dream, you wake up, oh, it was a dream. Why does it only say it was a dream after the second part?
Maybe Vayikatz from the first dream. No?
Now what? After the Chalom HaRishon, Rak Achar Chalom HaShini Uksiv V'hinei Chalom. Lama lo Uksiv Zeh Kosav Zeh Achar Chalom HaRishon. Yeah? Listen to this. Another, this is totally different than we learned when we were little. Paro did not have a dream that where he saw seven fat cows and seven skinny cows eating the fat cows and seven fat ears being eaten by skinny ears. That's not what he saw in his dream. You know what he saw in his dream? It was a chalom mitoch chalom. It was a dream within a dream. What's a dream within a dream? You go to sleep at night, and in your dream, you see yourself sleeping and having a dream.
Whoa.
Okay? And in, you're watching, you know, you ever see in the comics, you know, when someone has a dream, you see the bubble, yeah. Right? So here, Paro went to sleep, and in his dream he saw a guy named Paro. And you know what Paro was doing in his dream? He was dreaming. And you know what he was dreaming about? Seven fat cows. Seven fat cows being eaten by seven skinny cows. And then you know what else Paro saw in his dream? He saw the Paro that was dreaming wake up. And then you know what else Paro saw in his dream? He saw the Paro that woke up going back to sleep and having another dream. In other words, Paro never woke up in the middle of the dream. He saw himself waking up in the dream. Here? Again, it wasn't a regular chalom. It was a chalom mito chalom.
That's from Rashi.
This is, who says this? We're going to see. It was a chalom mito. In other words, here Paro is. Try to imagine Paro lying down on that golden bed in Egypt, you know, with all those, he's being fanned, everybody's, you know, feeding him grapes and everything, he's sleeping, and he has a dream. And in the dream, he sees there's a Paro in a castle, having a dream about seven fat cows and seven skinny cows. Then in Paro's dream, he sees the Paro who's dreaming wake up in the middle of a dream. And then Paro who's dreaming sees the Paro who's having a dream go back to sleep and have a second dream. So if I were to ask you, how many dreams did Paro have?
One.
Only one dream.
Yeah.
It was one dream. Paro never woke up. The Paro in the dream woke up. Okay? Says Rashi, when it was all over, V'hinei nishlom chalom lefanav, shalem lefanav. Now the dream is over. As opposed to after the first dream, the dream wasn't over. The Paro in the dream's dream was over, but the real Paro's dream was not over. Okay, that's what Rashi means. When Rashi says, "V'hinei nishlom chalom shalom lefanav," now the dream is over, Rashi means to say, but beforehand the dream was not over. Beforehand, Paro was still dreaming that the Paro in his dream had woken up. Now, why would Hashem give Paro such a deep dream, a dream within a dream? We're going to see. We're going to come to it. Okay? But we're just getting started here. Okay? We're just getting started. Now, we're going to veer off a little bit. That was a little bit hard to imagine. You know, you have to really use your imagination for that. But now I'm going to tell you something else. This is really shocking. Okay? Fasten up right now. This is from, by the way, who says this pshat that it was a dream within a dream? This is from the Sefer Maaseh Hashem. The Maaseh Hashem was written by Rabbi Elazar Ashkenazi. He was born in Turkey in 1513, one of the early Achronim. He passed away in Krakow in 1585. He was a contemporary of the Bet Yosef and the Ramah, a very smart man. He was fluent in 12 languages. He was fluent in 12 languages. 1513, 1585.
7 years old,
right? Yeah.
In Krakow, you said?
In Krakow, yeah.
55.
Is he buried there?
Yeah.
Not sure.
1513
to 1585. Okay. Now I want to tell you One of the most genius Gedolim who lived in the last 1,000 years was a man by the name of Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. You ever hear in Israel, the Diskin Orphan Home is named after him. Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, 1817 to 1898. Okay? He was an Eloi. You know what an Eloi is? Eloi is a brilliant scholar. So he asks a very obvious question. Okay? And let's take a look at one more Rashi. We're going to start off by looking at the Pasuk. Pasuk Chas. So Paro calls all his Chartumim. Vayesaper Paro lehem es chalomo. Paro tells them his dream. V'ein poser osam lefaro. No one could interpret it for Paro. By the way, you know why no one was able to interpret it for Paro? Vayesaper Paro lehem es chalomo. Paro told him his dream. One dream. Lashon Yachid. V'ein poser osam. They couldn't interpret them because they all thought it was two separate dreams. They didn't realize this thing that we're saying, that was really one dream, and in the dream, he saw Paro waking up. Okay, put that aside for a second.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Wasn't it that they tried to do an interpretation?
Oh, that's exactly.
They weren't happy, like, or they should say Paro wasn't happy. Like
he wasn't satisfied with the answers. Right?
Seven daughters being born, and then they all died.
That's exactly right. I'm right there, right there. What does the Pasuk say? They told Paro his dream. Paro told them his dream. No one could interpret it for Paro. Ask Rashi, what do you mean no one could interpret it for Paro? Just say no one could interpret it. Why? It's an extra word for Paro. Says Rashi, sure they could interpret it. But Paro didn't accept the interpretation. Why? What was the interpretation? Like Oren said, Rashi brings down, all the interpreters came to Paro and he said, you know what your dream means? You're going to have seven daughters and they're all going to die. Paro said, nah, come on, I don't buy that. That's not what my dream means. And finally he goes to Yosef, and Yosef says, nothing to do with daughters, it has to do with the economy. 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. Asks Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, brilliant question. Here's the king of Egypt. Egypt is the empire of the world, okay? The whole world is dependent on the economy of Egypt. He has a dream. For how long? 2 years straight. And what kind of what does he see in the dream? Fat cows, skinny cows. Where are they? In the Nile River. What does the Nile represent? The economy of Egypt. There's no rain in Egypt. The Nile swells and waters. And what else does he see? Grain. Big grain. And who in their right mind would not know that this dream has something to do with the economy? Why would these sorcerers, they were probably very smart people. Why would they give such a ridiculous interpretation? Oh, you know what? You know who the cows are? Your daughters. Come on. What kind of interpretation is that? That's what the cows represent. Women? Anyone with a half a brain would know that if you see cows, if the king of Egypt sees cows in a dream, you see grain in a dream, it has to do with food. It has to do with money. It has to do with the economy. You don't have to be a big rocket scientist to know that what Paro's dream had to do with the economy. So why were they so foolish to tell Paro he's going to have seven daughters and they're all going to die? Okay? Another question. After Yosef tells Paro the dream, okay? And he interprets the dream. Turn to page 226, okay? After Yosef interprets the dream, Yosef adds something very important. If you look in Pasuk, Lamed Gimel, he says, V'ata yera Paro, and now let Paro appoint, Ish Navon V'chacham, a smart and wise man, V'shiseo al Eretz Mitzrayim, appoint him over the land of Egypt. And Paro yasa Paro, let Paro make, V'yafki pekidim al Eretz, let him appoint advisors. And Yosef advises Paro, take all the grain that you're going to produce in 7 years, put it in the storehouses, and save it up for the years of famine. And this way, when the famine comes, the land of Egypt will not be destroyed. I have one question for you. Yosef, who asked you? Who asked you for this advice? Paro didn't call on Yosef for his economic advice. Paro called on Yosef to interpret the dreams. So let Yosef interpret the dream, but now he's starting to advise Paro in the economics of the country? Paro did not summon this Jew from jail to give him advice about how to run the economy. Paro had many advisors. He had the head of the economy. He had his secretary of state. He had his officers. All he needed was advice in interpreting the dream. He didn't ask for a financial consultant, right? You know, you have a guy, he goes to his psychotherapist, and then after the psychotherapist is finished, he said, by the way, I think you should invest your money in mutual funds. That's not what you're going to him for. Yosef should stick to the area that is quite arrogant and pretentious of Yosef. You know, here he is. He's been, you know, wallowing and languishing in jail for the last 2 years. He gets called out because he's an expert in interpreting dreams, and then he starts throwing in, you know, his economic tips. I mean, who asked him? Says Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. Listen to this. When the Chartumim heard Paro's dream, their immediate reaction was, I'll tell you what your dream means. The seven fat cows are 7 years of plenty. The seven skinny cows are 7 years of famine. But you know why they didn't give that interpretation? Because they were so smart, and they had actual prophecy through the forces of evil, that they looked into the stars and they saw the future. Who knows how many years of famine there really were in Mitzrayim? There weren't 7 years of famine. There were 7 years of plenty. There were only 2 years of famine. Why? Because when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, the famine stopped short after 2 years. Plus, the fact that Yosef prepared the land of Egypt for the famine and he stored up the grain for 7 years, so the famine didn't last long because they had a big supply of food. So the sorcerers, when they heard Paro's dream, they wanted to jump on it and say, yeah, it's simple. Seven fat cows, 7 years of plenty. Seven skinny cows, 7 years of famine. But then they looked into the future. They only saw 2 years of famine. So they knew that couldn't be the interpretation. Because they were limited. They were only able to see what would be. Yosef was much smarter than them. Yosef not only saw what would be, he also saw what should have been. Yosef saw what should have been. What was going to be. In other words, what Yosef realized, and the way he was much smarter than them, is they were only able to know what the future entailed. Not what the future could have been had we not done something about it. So what happens? Paro gives his dream. He tells his dream to the interpreters. And the interpreters are racking their brains. Oy vey, what are we going to do? It seems to us that the meaning of the dream is there are going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. But we know we can't give that interpretation because that's not what the future has in store. Yosef comes and he says, no, you're making a big mistake. The meaning, and therefore the interpreters, what did they say? Ah, you're going to have seven daughters and they're all going to die. Yosef comes in and he says, I'll tell you what your dream means. There are going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Whereupon the thousands of magicians jumped on Yosef and said, Yosef, you're a liar. We're looking into the future. We only see 2 years. Says Yosef, that's because you don't want to do anything about it. But if you follow my advice, then what could have been is not going to be. In other words, you know why Yosef is advising Paro what to do about the 7 years? Because Yosef knows that what his interpretation is only not what is going to be, but what could have been. So his advice was to be able to defend himself from the attacks of the magicians. The magicians are going to tell Yosef, obviously your interpretation is incorrect because we only see 2 years of famine in store. Whereupon Yosef says, if you follow my advice, then you will be correct that it will only be 2 years. My interpretation is deeper than yours. I'm not telling you what is going to be. I could even see what could have been. Okay? So that is why Yosef is telling the advice to Paro. Not because he's just offering free advice, but he's trying to defend his interpretation. Because all the other magicians knew about Yosef's interpretation, but their only question was, we see that the future does not have this in store. Yosef says, let me tell you why the future doesn't have this in store. If you listen to my advice, and you save up during the years of plenty for the years of famine, then the 7 years of famine that should have been will not be. Okay, in other words, Yosef's great chachma is that a true Navi, a true prophet, is not only able to see what will be, but what could be. Okay. Let's take it a little bit further. Okay, two more steps. Again, so if I would have to ask you, why, okay, who's going to give the answer? Why did Yosef offer advice about what to do during the 7 years of plenty? Why was Yosef offering this advice? Why was Yosef offering this advice? What would you say? If he didn't offer the advice, he would have been challenged by the magicians that obviously your interpretation is incorrect. You're not interpreting it correctly because we see there are only going to be 2 years of famine. Whereupon Yosef says, no. If you follow my advice, then you're right, there will only be 2 years of famine. Okay, let's just add two things. What type of dream was Paro's dream? How many dreams were there?
One
dream. So when he woke up, what does that mean he woke up? Did he really wake up?
In his dream, he saw
himself waking up. What's the meaning of that? Why would Hashem show Paro a dream where he sees the 7 cows and then he sees himself waking up? What does the waking up represent?
The horror of the dream.
What was the interpretation of the waking up? The interpretation is that Paro is being alerted about what to do about the 7 years of plenty. Hashem is showing Paro, he sees, right? Paro is looking at the dream, and in his dream he sees a Paro seeing 7 years of plenty, and then he sees Paro waking up. The fact that he saw Paro waking up means Hashem is showing Paro that Paro needs to do something about the 7 years of plenty. Paro needs to wake up and smell the coffee and do something about it. The interpretation of Paro waking up, Yosef says, you know what it means when you see yourself waking up? That means you woke up and you appointed someone to do something about it during the 7 years of plenty and store up grain during those 7 years. So Yosef is not just offering free advice. Oh, by the way, my advice to you is that you should save up grain during the 7 years. Yosef's not offering advice. Yosef is offering the interpretation of the dream. He's telling Paro, when you see in your dream Paro waking up, you know what that means? That means after the 7 years of plenty, Paro is going to wake up and do something about it and make sure that during the 7 years of famine, you don't starve to death. And you know what you need to do? You know how you're going to wake up? You're going to appoint a very smart person to oversee the land of Egypt. That's what the interpretation of you seeing yourself waking up, that's the interpretation of that. One more thing, and this question always bothered me. Okay, here you have, a minute ago, Yosef is sitting in jail, okay, for 2 years. With all the criminals, you know how it is in jail, right? Not that I know, but...
It was a blue-collar jail.
Yeah, he had all these criminals there. Yosef hadn't shaved, he had a long beard. He looked like a homeless guy, he had long hair, no shower. And all of a sudden, they rush him out of jail, and they bring him to Paro. And Paro says, I think maybe you could help me. And Paro tells him the dream, Yosef interprets it. Paro says, wow, you're a really great interpreter. Here's my ring. You're now the king of Egypt. You're second in command. I don't want to have anything to do with this country anymore. I'm just going to sit on my throne. You'll oversee everything. You'll be in charge of the economy. And nobody will be able to lift a finger without you. You're the greatest man in this country. Wow, that was quick, right? And what does Paro do? Nothing. Paro's just going to sit on his throne. I mean, Paro must have been a smart guy if he's the king of Egypt. So quick, just like that, he gives up everything and he basically is not playing any role in this country of Egypt anymore. How did that happen so quickly? Says the Be'er Yosef. That was Yosef's interpretation of the dream. Because remember we said, how many dreams did Paro have?
One.
So what's Paro doing? He's in his dream, he sees Paro. What's Paro doing? Sleeping. What does Paro do in the middle of the dream? He wakes up. What does Paro do after that? He goes back to sleep. So basically, what is Paro doing for 14 years? Sleeping. What does he do for one moment? He wakes up and he's alerted and he does something about the matzav, he does something about the situation.
14 years.
Because, I mean, he's sleeping when he sees the seven fat cows and the seven skinny cows. He's sleeping when he sees the seven fat ears and the seven skinny ears. So that means he's basically sleeping for the entire episode except for one short amount of time where he wakes up, vayikatz, and he's alerted to the situation. Now we said that Paro waking up represents what? It represents Paro being alerted and doing something about the matzav, doing something about the situation. But for the rest of the time, what is Paro doing? He's sleeping. Yosef interprets to Paro, you know what your dream means? That throughout the 14 years, you know what you're going to be doing? Schluffing. You're going to be sleeping. You don't have to do anything. You'll sit on your throne. You don't have to worry about anything. And you'll be alerted to the situation. And you'll appoint someone to oversee the situation and take care of what's going on. But you won't have to be doing anything. Because that is the interpretation of Paro seeing in his dream, Paro sleeping. The fact that it was chalom mitol chalom, the fact that it was a dream within a dream, means that whatever Paro was watching in his dream, first Paro sees Paro sleeping. Which means that throughout the years of plenty, Paro is not going to have to do anything. Then Paro sees Paro waking up. That represents Paro is going to be alerted to the situation and he's going to do something about it. Then Paro sees himself sleeping again. Therefore, Paro says, you have interpreted my dream perfectly. Perfectly. The interpretation is, there would have been 7 years of famine. And as you say, the fact that I am alerted to the situation means that I'm going to do something about it. When Paro woke up in the dream, he didn't actually wake up. He only saw himself waking up, which represents the fact that he was alerted, he did something about it, but Paro throughout the whole time was sleeping, represented the fact that for the 14 years, Paro did not have to do anything. Okay, we'll just say one thing about Hanukkah, to end off about Hanukkah. How many days of Hanukkah?
8 days.
When we lane on Hanukkah, on the second day of Hanukkah, what do we lane? We lane about the second day of the Nisim, the third day of the Nisim, of the princes bringing Karbanos in the Mishkan. So on the second day of Hanukkah, what do we lane? The Kohen and the Levi break up by Yom HaSheni, and the Yisrael breaks up by Yom HaShlishi. We lane by Yom HaShlishi. On the third day, you lane by Yom HaShlishi, and then the third Aliyah is by Yom HaRavi. Let me ask you a question. Why in the world, on each day of Hanukkah, should you not just lane? On the third day, read about the third day of the Nisim. On the fourth day, read about the fourth day of the Nisim. On the fifth day, read about the fifth day of the Nisim. Why on the second day do we read about the third day also? Why on the third day do we end off reading about the fourth day? Why on the fourth day do we also lane about the fifth day? The answer is, says Arugas HaBoisam, one of the Paiskim of the early part of the century, 1900s. He says, there are two parts of the miracle of Hanukkah. First of all, they found one flask of oil that should have lasted for one day, lasted for 8 days. But there is another element of the miracle. The miracle of the victory of war. When was the war won? Some say it was won on the 25th day of Kislev. Many Rishonim say the victory occurred on the 24th day of Kislev, Chaf Dalet. Hence, the second day of Hanukkah is the second day of the miracle of the oil, but the third day of the miracle of the victory. So therefore, on each day of Hanukkah, it's really that day, but it's also another, it's the day after in terms of the day of the victory. The second day is the second day of the miracle of the oil, the third day of the victory. The third day is the third day of the oil, the fourth day of the victory, and so on. That's one reason why on each day of Hanukkah, we not only lane that day, we read the next day, because in terms of the victory, it's really the day after. Ve'elchem Hanukkah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.